I saw like a I saw artwork for like a heavy metal Achroma flying around. Was that just fan made or was that real?
Oh, I think that was fan made. That's
that looked really cool. I was a fan of the heavy metal thing. I didn't buy it. I'm not like you.
So I thought a llama. I don't know. It's what sounds to whales make. You know, I'm one of them. I'm actually just like a dugong or a sea lion.
What is it? A seal? You're just the primary evolution, or the base level.
A dugong is a real like Arctic ocean mammal.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess at the time, Pokemon was just all about, you know, Mankey was a Pokemon. Come on, right? Yeah. Let's change a letter and that's a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Rattata.
Rat, yeah.
Just like a baby trying to say rat. Rattata.
But I'm not quite a whale. Like, I don't get, like, there's some people, you know, like Rudy. Rudy is a whale, right? Like, he's not
a whale.
No, you don't think so?
No, he doesn't buy everything. He's an investor. There's a big difference. A whale is like someone who buys the bling because it's bling. I think that's closer to what you are. Rudy is going in all in on that RL to consolidate a position in the game in a piece of card reprinted again. I don't think we'll ever get rid of the reserve list, honestly. So no, that, I think know. That's a key it's, difference.
There's actually a much better business model where they just stop supporting formats that play reserve list cards. I think the only format where reserve list cards are going to be supported eventually is going to be Commander. And they're not nearly as much of an issue in Commander because it is so much more casual.
If Commander ever became bigger, like, thank God WotC doesn't control the banned restricted list for Commander, because if they did,
yeah. Can I say I love that the community controls the banned restricted list for Commander?
Well, I mean, it's really your kitchen table that controls it, but I do like that there's a rules committee outside of WotC that controls the BNR, and it's, if they didn't, I'm assuming all the reserve list cards would be banned in Commander.
So. I don't know. You know, they're not. Is it supposed to be? I think that the spirit of Commander, is just you being able to play everything. I mean, there are.
Does the game have a spirit anymore? Is there? Does Magic have an identity, Justin? Like, I don't. I think that's. You know, the hubbub the last couple of weeks has been
I firmly I am reserving judgment before I see some of the cross IP stuff that may be coming out in the future that is coming in the future. I mean, we know it's coming now, right? I think some of it, like we talked about this a little bit on the Discord with some of the guys, the last Commander game we played. And I think there is now going to be a place for them to use really cool mechanically driven stuff that they just couldn't flavor with Magic. And I think there's just more design space. Like I don't mind them making these cards, especially if they're going to be legal in like Commander and then, you know, Legacy and Vintage, which they don't support except really on Magic Online. I think like even the like Team Constructed is standard Pioneer and Modern now, right? Like TCG doesn't even hardly support Legacy except in their Legacy tournaments. I don't think it is the doom. This is going to be one of the things that this is going to kill Magic, right? I think this is just going to be one of the things that people make a big stink about that nobody ends up caring.
No, it's fine. Let's just get into it. Welcome back to Force and Spike. You've got Justin on the East Coast, Chris out here on the West Coast. Justin, it is early in the morning for me, mid-morning for you. Hopefully your day is going well so far. but I don't want to lose the point. So let's just get right into that. I hear you when it comes to the, like, yeah, these Universe Beyond cards are not going to be affecting Standard, Modern, Pioneer, etc. I do feel for the Legacy and Vintage community, though, because and the Commander community also, largely because the nature of crossover IP isn't necessarily just the, oh, cool, look what we did. It is how tangled the rights and the usage rights for those characters can get that effectively, and this is a little bit speculative. I don't know the business details about their ability to reprint these cards, but there's a high likelihood that these are automatically new reserved list cards that are being printed and made.
Yeah,
and that's the big watch out. That's the really big one. It's not so much the IP crossover. I mean, a lot of people are up in the air about it. Like, I could say, cool, whatever. Like, they've been doing this for a while. You can play with your freaking My Little Pony cards if you wanted to, guys. Like, this is not something super, super new for Magic. They're just honestly capitalizing on the altar market here. Like, you know, how many altars do you get? Poor RK Post has lost his token business, like, with this development. You know, these crossovers have been happening and have been part of the game culture for quite some time. It's all been unofficial. Now they're making it more official, and it's the fear that these cards might actually be playable and good in Commander and Legacy that is more of the issue than anything else. Like, what's your? I don't want to be soft on this topic. I think we could talk a lot about it, but like, what's your position on that angle?
I don't think that Wizards of the Coast is foolish enough to agree to create a product that they cannot reprint in the future.
Well, we're talking about Hasbro now. Like, the other big development with this announcement was that Wizards of the Coast is effectively one third of Hasbro's operating capabilities now. Hasbro went through a giant reorganization as part of their quarterly update.
Yep.
And WotC is now responsible for one third of the business processes that exist within the company. That's really big. Like, for anyone who works in a big corporation, holy shit. that's a big change.
It is a big deal.
So we're talking about Hasbro.
The Wizards of the Coast arm of Hasbro is going to continue to grow. I think one day Hasbro is going to rename itself Wizards of the Coast. Like, Wizards of the Coast is just going to continue to grow to the point where it is most of Hasbro. And then
maybe Hasbro's got more like mainstream name recognition. Like, there's corporate branding. I could see Wizards of the Coast going away and being starting to be called Hasbro. I would see the opposite going.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's certainly possible.
Anyway, I didn't want to get in front of your point. Go ahead. You don't see them being.
I don't see them making deals where they can't reprint these products. The thing about the secret layers is that they're supposed to be these really special things, right? I think there are going to be really limited reprints of these cards in future products, and they'll probably not use the same art. And there may be, you know, the cards may be skinned differently. If they make, you know, Gandalf might get Gandalf may be the official version of the card. But it's possible for skins to go the other way, right? They may skin it Magic. I don't think we'll ever see reprints.
Is there literature about this, though? Have they said that that's what they're going to do or not do? You know,
no, but they haven't said they're not going to do it.
So
it's super dicey. But what I'm trying to say is, I don't think they're going to make any deals where they can't reprint these cards. But to make them feel special, I don't think we'll ever see, you know, copy paste reprints of these cards ever.
It would have been very easy. And I might be missing, this is what happens when you record the day before really big news hits, and, you know, your parents that don't have a lot of time to record throughout the week. So we're a week behind here, but I need to get my facts straight. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have they said that the only way these cards will be printed is with that Universe Beyond Holo badge, or are they going to go the Godzilla route sometimes?
So the universes beyond, I believe, are going to be a mixture of the two, depending on what they feel like is most appropriate.
They're reserving
the right to do either.
Half your cake and eat it too, Watsy. So that's the thing here, right? Like, I think the Godzilla treatment, for those who don't remember, during Ikoria, they took cards from the set and literally just reskinned them to the Godzilla intellectual property. And on the card, it said what the card was actually supposed to be as well. That's perfectly fine for me. Like, if that's all they were doing here, this would be a non-issue at all. And Justin, the reason I'm dicey about their ability to reprint the cards is because I'm going to guess the Godzilla treatment will be for cards that they are able to reprint, and they'll adapt them from existing Magic cards. And when they don't have the ability to reprint, because WotC doesn't always control that conversation, right? That's going to be a conversation that goes two ways with whoever they're partnering with. You're going to get the Walking Dead treatment where it's, you know, hey, these are available in this printing and this is the card name. Like, this is the canonical base name of the card. It's your base evolution.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're not going to have the rights to say that this reprint is Rick, you know, human, whatever, right? I forget his name. But it's the fact that both treatments exist that really make me a little queasy.
Yeah, on Rick's steadfast leader.
Yeah, you just looked at yours.
I just flipped the page. Yeah. I am part of the problem.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm not all up in arms about, you know, playing Gandalf or Golem dot deck. Like, my wife is like, oh, I can play like the Fellowship, and I was like, yeah, I guess at some point, like, theoretically,
you'll be able to play your Fellowship of the Ring Commander deck. Like, doesn't that sound
cool? Yeah, Annie was like, wow, that sounds fun, count me in. And I'm just like, wow, yeah. Okay. So, you know, here's someone who knows the game system but is not necessarily interested in the game, that is like, yeah, I'd play that. Like, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Why do you think they didn't go with the whole Deckmaster route? You know, Magic originally was designed to be a game in the Deckmaster system, and the core rules were the Deckmaster rules. And there were other games printed with very similar rules to Magic under the Deckmaster brand. Like, why didn't they just, like, this is part of the game's origin. Like, they could have totally spun this as we're going back to our roots and expanding the rule system to other intellectual properties. And, you know, they could have said, this is the Lord of the Rings TCG via Deckmaster or something. Like that, and the rules, the way it worked is the rules are similar enough where the cards could be compatible. Like, you could do some transformations to the rules to say, oh yeah, this is how it would work in Magic. Like, I don't know why they just didn't do that. Do you have any, I've heard one theory, but I want to hear yours first. Like, why not do this?
One, it's because they would be essentially creating a new audience they would need another set of everything. They would need another, arm of the website for this new game. They would need...
Yeah, you make deckmaster.com. I mean, I'm making this up. Like, I don't know if they call it that, but...
is just everything. So they already have wizards.com from yeah. which you go to, you know, Dungeons & Dragons or Magic the Gathering or, like, I can't remember what they call... their board game brand, but they have Hasbro? It. No, that's not the board game brand. Like, okay. Wizards of the Coast has a section that on board
Avalon
games.
Avalon Hill,
right? Yeah, Avalon Hill.
I'm looking at one right now on my shelf. My favorite board game is a WotC game.
So you can get to all that from wizards.com, right? There would be another great big part of the website to build and maintain, which is not without costs. Why wouldn't somebody just spend their money on Magic though? The thing is, they don't want to. There's this very real possibility where they just people have their but they just don't buy both, right? Like, they don't play the Lord of the Rings game.
I don't know that that's materially different though, right? Like, in this situation, you're going to have a player base that will refuse these Universe Beyond cards, and you'll have a player base that accepts them, and they're still mixed. Like, I don't understand the tangible difference.
So they're going after people like me. So, like, I wouldn't have bought this other stupid game, but
how many of you exist though? Like,
I think there's a lot of me. I think the average invested Magic player is maybe don't buy quite as much stuff as I do, but they like the stuff I buy is the stuff that most people buy. I don't think most people are buying booster boxes. I think most people are buying commander decks and secret layers and like that stuff. Do you think that's not the case? Do you honestly feel like most people are, if somebody has, you know,
so you're talking about spending habits and product magnetism here, but how many, I would want to see the data on how many people like you are also pissed off about this. Like, I don't know what that is. Like, you and I actually, it might surprise people that we're not really that mad about this. Like, I was thinking about the announcement when it came out, and I was like, oh, everyone's going to think I'm going to come back on this right now. And I'm just like, no, this is actually mostly okay. Like, I'm worried about the reprint equity of these cards if they break something. But anyway, long story short, how many like people out there with your hobby habits are going to be really turned off by this? Like, you go look at the community and you see like everyone's pissed off, and I'm not saying that like we should be. I'm just wondering the decision to anger the fan base when the alternative is so similar to the execution they're doing anyway is really interesting to me. Like, I don't understand. Like, the excuse I've read is that they didn't want people who bought into Lord of the Rings to not get into Magic. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like the opposite way. It's not about Magic players embracing these cards. It's about the people who bought these cards embracing Magic.
Right. This is a way. Yeah. So this is a way for somebody who likes Lord of the Rings, but like was always like, oh no, I'm not going to do Magic. They can buy their Lord of the Rings commander deck now, and they can say, oh, Magic's actually pretty fun. And buy more Magic cards.
Yeah. I mean, so that's like an acquisition plan. It's an onboarding plan, and it's something that happens all the time, right? Like, you doing partnerships is a huge way to do this. What it does for your brand is more questionable. And I'm looking at WotC's business practices here, and they are just they're in incredible growth mode right now because of the demands of Hasbro. And I am morbidly curious to see how this plays out long term with the Magic brand overall. I don't really want it to become Super Smash Brothers, you know? Like, I don't really want Magic to be, you know, Gandalf versus Luke Skywalker.
Sure.
Equip this TIE fighter, you know.
Yeah, crew your TIE fighter, equip your
Gideon crews the TIE fighter, and you know,
you equip your Sword of Time to the TIE fighter and attack.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Take
like,
an extra turn.
Very Super Smash Brothers to me, you know. New challenger approaching and all that. But that's probably what Commander's gonna become like in 5 years, like with enough of these. That tickles some people's fancy. It's not necessarily for me. I don't think it's going to kill the game entirely, because again, most of my enjoyment still comes from Standard, Modern, etc. But like, you don't become the best card game in the world with a bad brand, right? Like, the IP was strong, it just wasn't very attractive to people. And instead of growing it organically and expanding the audience, similar to like what Marvel Studios did, for example, like we could talk about Marvel as a proxy for how to take an IP that's not attractive and make something of itself. They instead opted for the cheap, quick growth route, which is partnership and activation. Like, this is my bread and butter, dude. This is the kind of stuff I do at work. And like, when you need money quick, you do a partnership. When you and you risk the brand's long-term health on the stakes of that partnership or continued partnerships happening, Like, you know, all of a sudden you become the partnership brand and you're always doing a collab and you're doing this and that. And it's, you lose yourself a little bit. We're very distinct, like when we choose when to do a partnership and when not to, especially at the product level. We might do endorsements, we might do, you know, spokespeople, et cetera, but like partnership means you are helping create or you're involved in the actual core product. And that's a very intentional decision that is made. And you can't really put the genie back in the bottle if you plan it as a long-term strategy, which it seems like they're doing here. If they had said this is the year of, you know, Universes Beyond or something, I'd be like, cool, they're doing this like, you know, for a year or whatever. But this is like forever now. You can't really go back.
Well, part of the thing is that the Walking Dead Secret Lair sold so well.
Sure did.
It was their best-selling Secret Lair, you know, ever. And they said, okay, so obviously people are, for whatever reason, are interested in purchasing these crossover IP products. You know, the question is, okay, like what crossover IP products do they want? And they can do surveys and kind of find out if people want sets. One of the things that I'm sure you're aware of as a marketing professional is that people don't actually know what they want.
No.
Yeah. No, so like surveys actually aren't incredibly useful.
It's a bias. If you know you're being surveyed, your answer is going to be different.
Yeah, exactly. So instead of just asking people what they want, they're going to make like one of everything and see what people buy and go from there, right? So we've had a Secret Lair that sold like gangbusters. We're going to have Commander decks. But I'm actually really looking forward to the Warhammer Commander decks. I think those are going to be really cool.
That Secret Lair, so hold on. The Secret Lair is not a valid test. Like, a valid test would have been printing, hear me out, a set of those cards functionally with Magic intellectual property and a set of those cards with the Walking Dead skin. Selling them both at the same time and seeing which one sold more. That would have been a test. It's complete bullshit to say the Walking Dead was a successful and was the best-selling thing of all time. You know why it was part of the reason? Yes, you know, there's data they have about new acquisition, who was new to Magic purchases, etc. I'm going to question that data because they're talking about who's bought Secret Lairs for the first time, not necessarily have they ever bought Magic before. I'm going to guess it's impossible for WotC to track have they ever bought Magic before. I mean, it's going to be hard. Like, you can do some stuff with the credit card companies to track purchases and do some data analysis on like who's bought what. But my guess is the Walking Dead had a few folks who are Walking Dead fans pick it up. You had probably a lot of people who were Walking Dead fans and long-term Magic fans pick it up as a collectible item. And then you've got, you know, some of the player base who scooped up a few because they were worried about reprint equity because like Rick looked broken for like Legacy Humans or something.
Yeah. Like, Rick is, I hope there's fewer things like that. Like I don't like them printing objectively their best, you know, Lord for a creature type. In something like that, like,
but that's what's going to get us to buy it, right? Like, so
sure.
So my point is, going like that's not a true test. Like, I reject the idea that they truly know.
I mean, how it is much a Walking it, Dead it is, helped with it that. Is it is a test. It's just it's not a good test.
It's not an objective test. It's not. There's no control. What's the control? Like, if you're doing a data variant, what's your control? Like, they don't have one in that environment. That was not a test. Like Walking Dead, like, or Godzilla. Sorry, Godzilla is closer to having a test environment, but they didn't have it structured in a way where they could look at demand for those cards without acknowledging the secondary market.
Right? Sure, they can't do that.
So, you know, that's a little rant about no, that's not actually a true data analysis. Like, yes, it could statistically be your best seller, but there are other very variables in play here,
right?
And I think the variable in play, a big one, without seeing the data, I need to see it, but my hypothesis is perceived scarcity had a lot to do with that too. So that's going to continue, right? Like, these things aren't necessarily all going to be Secret Lairs. I believe that Lord of the Rings is actually going to be a set, which honestly, I'll probably buy a box. I think it sounds sweet. Like, given the whole this isn't standard legal, like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
I hope that they can reprint it.
I hope it's a great draft environment. If it is, I'll probably, you know, like, make a draft cube, and that's, you know, I mean, if it's an amazing draft environment, I might make a draft cube for it.
Yeah. I have zero interest in Warhammer. Like, I mean, whatever, like, I'll buy a single, I guess, if I can need the card, but, like, that's the thing. I don't want to.
Sure.
So what, like, something I loved about Magic as its identity has been its take on other properties like fantasy tropes and like how do we do it in the MTG universe. That's something Magic did very well for the length of its run, and I don't know why I just referred to the game in the past tense. Maybe that was some Freudian slip there, but like the game did, and the
Magic is gone, it's died,
hopefully will continue. Like Strixhaven, our take on the Magic school, like, cool, sure, let's go, people were pumped. Our take on Norse mythology. Like, what are they going to do instead next time? Just Thor? Like, are they just going to do Thor next time instead of doing Kaldheim? You know what? Like, Innistrad. Like, our take on Gothic horror. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to the October announcement that there's going to be a secret lair for the Universal horror movies. Like, it's, come on. Like, they do such a good job with what they have and the adaptations and really leaning into the fantasy world and trope that I don't know that they needed to do this.
Oh, it's not going to be horror movies. It's going to be the Twilight secret lair, dude. It's
no, it would be like Universal or something. There's actually still a massive audience for those films and IPs, by the way. Like, I know horror is not your thing, but,
oh, I know people love this stuff. That's just not, I'm not one of them.
Oh dude, Universal Studios is building a theme park in Florida where like, a new like whole section of the park is just going to be the classic monsters, like Dracula, just Wolfman, Frankenstein.
Scary Town.
Not even Scary Town. Those movies aren't scary. Those movies are just really, really fun, classic Hollywood. Like, honestly, the Universal monsters were like that generation's Avengers. I don't know if you like you've looked into this stuff at all, but every generation has the big IP crossovers. And you know, when Frankenstein met the Wolfman, dude, that was like Captain America.
Frankenstein's monster. Met the Wolfman.
Right. Well, whatever. But it's like Captain America going to fight Loki and Iron Man shows up. Like that was a big moment for that. Anyway, point is, when crossovers are earned, it's really wonderful. And this didn't feel very earned to me. Something Watsy could have done. Spoilers for the Marvel Universe, everyone. I'll give you guys a second to skip ahead, maybe a minute. But what they could have done is, you know, a multiverse storyline, like, hey, we like our whole game is like based on the idea of multi like verse planeswalking, etc. Like, what happens if reality cracks? Like that, like we could have done it that way too. Like, there were ways they could have earned this, like narratively over time, especially if they wanted to have a narrative. But I just don't think they care about that. Like, and that's part of the game that's dying for me here is earning these kinds of things. And, you know, we're not, it's not a big event. It's just a thing that's happening to meet a quarterly revenue goal. And it's a little sad for me on that front. I don't think it's going to kill the game, but it is disappointing. You know, they could have built up to something like this.
No, I am cautiously excited. This has the potential to be executed wonderfully and the potential to be executed horribly. And we'll see what happens.
So you're cautiously excited, and I am mildly indifferent.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Or you were mildly disappointed. You sound disappointed.
You think it's disappointment? It might be. I guess.
Underwhelmed. I guess. Like, well, maybe not disappointed, but just not impressed. Like.
Oh, I don't think WotC's earned any trust to not break one of these cards. Like, that's kind of what it comes down to for me. Like, sure. We're all assuming that, like, oh, cool, they're gonna do this, and it's not going to affect Commander.
Sure.
Okay.
Well,
right. Like, or what's it's really not hard going
is
to...
that like they just need more people, right? There's like this game is worth so much money, and like vision design, set design, and all of R&D is like 16 people or 20 people or something. Like, maybe more people should work on Magic.
Or, you know, treat your spinoffs like a spinoff. Make it a box set, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if they were doing that, right? If this wasn't booster packs, like, okay, now I'm fired up. right? Like if this wasn't booster packs and this was you can buy an expansion of Magic the Gathering that is Lord of the Rings and every card is going to be in the box. Complete night and day difference. I would just be like, cool, great. I mean, that's effectively what they're doing with the Warhammer stuff because it's a commander set, right? So you're going to get your set and it's going to be everything in it.
Sure.
With the Lord of the Rings box, random packs, like, dude, give me the stuff. Like, we just want to play as Gollum, or we just want to have Frodo and the One Ring that is probably just going to be a Sol Ring reskin, right? Like, just give me that. Give me the collector's box that I can just say, cool, I have every card here, and I can, like, build decks differently. Like, there are things they can do to make this feel less like that kind of... It feels a little bit like a cash grab, and I think that there are things they could do to make it feel less like that and then have the player base be able to get what they want, which is their Gandalf card. But now you have to crack packs to open Gandalf. And that just feels very disingenuous for what they're trying to do.
And there will be regular Gandalf, foil Gandalf, full art Gandalf, and full art foil Gandalf.
Your secret rare Tom Bombadil, you know?
Alternate full art Gandalf and alternate full art foil Gandalf.
Right, right. And that's kind of where I'm getting at here. I'm just like, just give me the set, please.
Yeah.
Make it $100. Like, I don't know. Like, whatever it is. Like,
100. I mean, they can make 100.
You know, people would pay for it.
Yeah. The people that want the stuff pay for the stuff. As somebody who pays for the things that they want that are sometimes ridiculously priced by Wizards of the Coast.
Looping back around to your point earlier, there are actually a lot of people like you in the world, and I mean that in the best way. I often use your familial situation as inspiration sometimes if I have a marketing assignment that is meant for people like you.
Let me think about Justin, Aaron, and Emily.
Yeah, like, what does their day look like? what do they do when they wake up in the morning and go to work and that sort of thing? So anyway, this is not the heat death of the universe. This is a thing to watch, but I'm not super salty about this. Disappointment might be a better word.
Yeah.
Speaking of disappointment,
what's next?
Oh, did you see the historic anthology like announcement?
Oh yeah, boo!
It's just so bad, right? Like what? This is for Brawl, effectively. Like So we'll just read through the list real quick. Like, and we'll talk about cards that have meaning, and then we'll say, yeah, that card's not going to do anything. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be wrong when, you know, the format's been upended.
That's okay. I can be wrong. That's fine.
Yeah, I'll read the list here. You got Thraben Inspector, which I actually think will be played.
Yes.
You know, mono white is huge. You know, one for a 1/1 that makes a clue is pretty good. Declaration in Stone will probably be played. Triumphant Reckoning and Adorned Pouncer, I do not think we'll see any play at all. Well, Adorned Pouncer, I don't know. 2 for a 1/1 double strike, Eternalize 5. Does that give the mono white deck in Historic any legs? The Eternalize?
I think it's a card that can be used in the enchantment, like the mono or the mono white / white blue, like Bogle's deck. Could potentially use that.
Yeah. Think Twice is one of my favorite cards of all time, honestly. I love Think Twice. We'll see.
I think Twice has an appropriate power level for Historic.
Maybe. I mean, gosh, like there's so many cool variants of it though now. Like with this is effectively it costs 5 to draw 2 cards when you've got, you know, what's the new one? You've got Glimmer of Genius and you've got the one with Foretell. Foretell?
I think it's yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's got Foretell. That's something. The multiverse,
view the beyonder. I don't know. Don't ask me to name cards. Spider spawning is Merit Lodge.
No, it's gonna be much cuter than it is good.
Oh, it's for Commander. Merit Lodge of Slumber and Iceberg Canicrics. I do not think we'll see much play at all.
No.
Sword of Body and Mind is interesting. So and Bone Splitter is also secretly interesting too. Like I kind of this is interesting. I don't know if it'll be good, but we'll see. Goblin Gavalier is in there because Bone Splitter's in there.
Yeah, right. So they're wondering, like, is there an equipment deck? I am interested in them pushing like the boundaries of what like how strong they can make equipment for, in order to make it meaningful in the format. Cause that's a whole like deck archetype, right? Or like not every deck is a creature deck, but the question is like, how powerful can you make your equipments before they become problematic? And I think Sword of Body and Mind is a really good place to start. It's not the best sword, but it's not the worst one.
Well, Bone Splitter is a great place too. It's literally one of the, I think that's the first equipment that got spoiled, right? Like ever?
Yeah, it was Bone Splitter. Yeah, that's yeah. I played a deck in Standard with 4 Bone Splitters in it.
Yeah, good card. I really like equipment. Like equipment was something that they got. There was some bumpiness along the way. Like Skull Clamp was a thing, but
it was OGT. Yeah,
but overall equipment is just so good. There are many people listening who do not remember the game without equipment, and I think equipment is one of my favorite card types. Totally. Flameblade Adept, you know, is for the cycling deck, which is very real still. They're just trying to give it some legs in historic, which is interesting. We'll see how it goes. Lizalana, sure. Huntmaster, and Abomination of Llanowar. Maybe I just don't appreciate the elf deck, but I feel like these are too high cost to have any impact.
Yeah, like, I don't think I would be surprised if either of those had any effect, but I know the elf deck is popular but not really good. So again, they're trying to cautiously like maybe give a little oomph to the deck.
I still think it's for Brawl. Inspiring Statuary, I can see getting busted somehow, some way. This is the non-artifact spells you cast have improvise. So
I don't think. I mean, if this hasn't already, you know, made a meme deck in any other format, I'm doubtful it's going to have any type of meaning in historic.
So historic's weird, though. Like, you can't really use other formats as a barometer for what's going to be good in historic, because historic doesn't have the card depth of modern. So, like, the answers are pretty bad in historic. And they have done a really good job printing a lot of enablers. Like, now that I've been playing Commander more with you guys, historic feels like almost like Commander, like in a way that's like, it's more about enabling you to do the cool thing you want to do than it is about controlling the flow of the game.
Sure.
Like, and I feel like that's the spirit of Commander coming into a constructed format. They've really done a good job making you feel like you're at the steering wheel when you're playing historic. Like, rather than on the back foot.
Yeah.
And so I would not be surprised to see something happen with this kind of card that we haven't been able to see in other formats, simply because, you know, I don't know if I don't think Shattering Spree is in historic, but like Shattering Spree is not in historic. So like what's up? Like that whole situation doesn't exist. Cold Steel Heart. I don't see this working out for anyone. Maybe the Tron deck likes this, but, you know, it doesn't draw you a card. It enters the battlefield tapped. It is a rainbow. It's not really even rainbow. You know, it you have to choose the color. It's snow mana. I don't know about this.
I think this is just snow support. I definitely think there's going to, with Kaldheim, there's definitely the potential for a snow deck to be a thing, especially the Sultai snow commander that untaps all your snow stuff when you attack with him. So you like, you could play this, attack with him, and then you untap this thing. So
sure, it's a lot of hoops to jump through. I'm just shocked WotC had the foresight to not print Arkham's Astrolabe in historic. How much do you want to bet this was Astrolabe for like the longest time?
Like, oh yeah, and then they're like, hey guys, we have a problem here. We should not put that. Yeah,
yeah. It could have been Scrying Sheets though. That would have been fun. I would have been very pumped if it had been Scrying Sheets. I'd been like, yeah, let's go. Amma Eternal, I'm kind of about. Hazma, Guardian of, like, I don't like anything with a comma in its name. I'm always just really skeptical. Like, Hazma, Guardian of Urshan. No, thank you. Harmless Offering will do something cute. Like, I don't know what off the top of my head, but I'm just thinking through like giving your opponent stuff. Like, it's the opposite. Like, maybe, Justin, let me know if I'm wrong. I feel like Jun Sacrifice has made me really bad at evaluating card power, especially when it comes to stealing and giving like things to your opponents. Like, is there anything to do with Harmless Offering that is just like gonna hurt? I know like in Commander there is, but like historic, I don't think so.
Man, there's nothing I can think of the top of my head, but I could totally be missing something.
Yeah, they put it at rare, which is interesting. I do not think it was a rare when it was printed. Maybe it was.
It was. It was.
Okay. Blink Moth and Nexus. Where's my Ink Moth? You know, like those two should go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, right. Sure.
I really miss my Affinity deck quite a bit. Collected Conjuring is nothing. Saw Tusk Demolisher is not going to do anything. And then the big controversial one here is Death Shadow. Death Shadow obviously does things in every format that it's been in, but without fetch lands, can you get your life total down quick enough to make a Death Shadow a thing?
Death Shadow is gonna be pretty bad, I think, until there's it's possible for them in the future to print like a fixed fetch land cycle where they can only get basic planes.
So they end up playing your shocks
more, though, like more like the pathways, right? But that's a card. Those are cards put into historic that could potentially make Death Shadow better. As it stands, I think Death Shadow is pretty bad.
So you go turn one shock into Thoughtseize. Turn two, you're definitely playing two color Death Shadow, right? Like turn two.
Because you want to play, so I don't know, maybe there's some rainbow deck that, you know, you just shock yourself to death to get your Death Shadow down. Maybe that's good enough.
I wish the Swamp Cycler, was it? No, the pay two life cycle, this card, what was that?
Ooh, I know what you're talking about, and it's getting a reprint in TSR.
Yeah, it's, gosh.
I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I just don't have. I mean, have kids if you want, but like my memory is just nothing. Since no, that's a lie. I've always
card names have never been your thing. Yeah,
no. I remember what they do. I don't remember what they're called.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the.
I actively avoid playing Python Needle. Let me put it that way.
Yeah,
I've played Python Needle before and just called the judge to be like, judge, this is the card I'm meaning to say and name. Can you please give me an errata on this card? And I'll read the rules text, but not the card name. And he'll just pull it up like, that way.
Yeah.
I've done that before. It was funny. I was like, I don't remember. I think it was a Babor Kamos. I was trying to figure out which one to get, and I couldn't remember anyway. It was a weird one. Cool. I am very lukewarm. Man, I'm like lukewarm on this one too, but it's okay. I will actually probably try to do something with Death Shadow when it comes out. I think there is going to be something that like, there's got to be something you can do. Like Thoughtseize in the format.
Sure. There might be some like base green black.
Well, it's not just like, it's not a control deck anymore. Like it becomes, or it's not an aggro deck. It becomes more of a control finisher probably. Like is my take on this? Like, can you just put Death Shadow into Jund Sacrifice? Like, and give it, you know, make it a finisher? Like, you know, you've got your
you gain way too much life. Like, you can't.
Do you need the cat? Like, I mean, let's be open minded here, Justin. Like, like do you need the cat? Like at that point, like it seems to be. I could see it as a sideboard card in Jund. Like. Okay, they're going after your graveyard. Cool. You side in the angle where it's like, yeah, I'm just going to go. Oh, I lost him. Are you there?
I am. That was weird.
You dropped. That was weird.
Yeah, Discord just crashed. It was strange.
Oh, it's okay. I can see it. I can see it. Sorry, still very early in the morning here for me. I could see it in Shadow. I could see it in Jund Sacrifice because you rob it, right? Like you just use the claim the firstborn on it to just out of nowhere like dome your opponent for 12 or something. That sounds great to me. Like I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's fine. Loris and Death Shadow, like the Loris is in the form. Like this is it'll do something. It'll do something.
It's possible. Maybe I'm saying, maybe I'm being too hard on it for not having fetch lands.
It's possible. Potentially, right? Like I don't know. I do know that when like Modern starts back up, Death Shadow is on my short list of things to really get reps in with. Like when Paper Magic starts back, like I want to kind of just get into a Death Shadow situation in Modern.
Yeah, same. I would love to play some type of Death Shadow deck. Modern is looking really good. I was actually wanted to talk to you about maybe making some Modern decks and like getting some reps in.
On Spell Table?
Yeah, because it looks good right now.
I don't know what she's laughing about. I don't know if you heard that. Yeah, I'd be down. I actually think I own this Izzet Blitz deck. Let me see.
There you go.
Yeah, I own every card in this Izzet Blitz deck. We could play tonight if you wanted.
Oh gosh, I don't think I have a deck, but
oh, okay. Sure. That's okay. No, Izzet Blitz and Burn, I believe I'm up to date on. Jund Death Shadow, I might be. Let's see. Is this the Tarmogoyf? Oh, I don't have Tarmogoyfs.
There's also Scourge of Skyclaves. I don't know if you have those.
No, I do not. I think those are the only things I'm missing, though. Yeah.
Tarmogoyf getting a reprint.
Who?
Tarmogoyf getting a reprint.
I know. Hopefully it finally crashes in price. Like, talk about price memory. Jesus, that card is not nearly as good as its price would dictate. Yeah, I could build some modern decks here. This looks fun. Cool. Last but not least, time shifted cards, right? How wrong were we about new Magic art being bad? It turns out
the new border is just bad. So like LSV posted on Twitter, he's like, how much time spiral do we have to buy in order for Wizards of the Coast to be convinced that the old frame is just better than the new frame?
Honestly, it's mind-boggling. So we had a quick phone call the other day where I was talking about what's the word for a feeling of having been correct, like a decade later or however long it's been, like just to see these cards in the old border and go like, oh yes, this is what home feels like.
I told you so. It just doesn't quite say it.
Yeah, it's not an I told you so. Oh man, they look beautiful. I'm looking for the list here. Like, I actually want to talk about the duds though, because there are a lot of great looking ones, and there are some that were like, okay, yeah, this is why the old border actually did go away. There are reasons. Like, the old border had some problems when it came to all art styles. That's for sure. In defense of the new border, most cards look good in the new border. Like, there are very few that looks like a bad card. Whereas in the old border, there were definitely art styles that did not fit it. And I think that's apparent on some of these reprints. TSP remastered, time shifted. Is there just a visual dictionary here?
Yeah, they have the gallery, the card image gallery up.
Oh, how come I can't find it?
Let me send it to you on Discord real quick.
I found the Throne of Eldraine. What the hell, Wizards?
I mean, when I Googled Time Spiral Remastered bonus sheet, that was the first thing that came up.
No, it's just all Time Spiral that's coming up for me. I'm literally typing in TSP Remastered Time Shifted, and I'm getting original
Time Spiral. It's probably because the set code is TSR.
Oh, my bad. Okay, cool. Yeah, like, I actually haven't seen all these yet, so I'm excited. They all look so good. Like, Ajani's Pride Mate looks right at home. Banishing Light, Containment Priest, like, Jesus, man, these all look beautiful. Like, looking at the white border is very good. Like, I actually am looking at this, and I don't see anything that looks out of place. Thraben Inspector is my MVP, though. Like, it looks
amazing. I have to get this foil SRAM. Like, I have to.
Oh, man, good luck. I don't think there's a dud in the white cards. Like, this looks good. Everything looks pretty solid here. Blue is also looking good. Baral looks fantastic. Like, look, that's an art design. I thought was like, oh well, look, here's Magic, you know, going down the shitter. Same with Fibblethim.
Like, yeah, they look right. So good. Just like, oh my god, it looks amazing. The card I think that looks the worst of the blue cards is actually, I think, Ninja of the Deep Hours, and it doesn't look bad. It just looks like out of place,
which is really interesting because that card is old enough where it was probably drawn with the old border in mind. Like I actually saw Ninja of the Deep, Deep Hours, and like gasped because I remember loving that card when I was a kid. And it's it so came good. Out. It was in standard with old border guards. Let's put it that way. Like,
yes. Yep. But these all look great.
Oh yeah, they look so good. My favorite. Oh God, Moldrifter looks good, but it's not my favorite.
My favorite blue card is Trinket Mage, and it's not close.
Oh, I actually thought Trinket Mage was an old border card at some point. I guess I was wrong.
No, yeah. The Ponder looks amazing. Remand looks amazing. I'm excited about Mystic Confluence in Modern. That's going to be cool.
Yeah, this is great stuff. Black, again, Liliana's Triumph is probably the only dud here. Like, as far as visually looking at these things. A lot of people were shitting on Zillaport Cutthroat, but that looks right out of Weatherlight to me. Like, I'm just like,
Totally. Yeah, it looks like it just came out of like Mercadian Masks or something. That looks great.
Yeah, I don't like the Liliana's Triumph though. That's a little hokey. I feel like they just wanted to reprint the card in Old Border, and they should have given it a new artwork, but it's fine. Red also, like, just banging, dude. Like, I don't know, is there a bad red card? Like, I don't think so.
Yeah,
Zealous Conscript is a bad card. Like, that. Oh man, there are some duds in here, aren't there? Not very many.
I mean, Zealous Conscripts is pretty combo-rific. Like, that's
okay.
It's not a bad reprint.
Swift Spear, honestly, it saddens me to say, is probably the least best looking here. Like, out of good cards. Like, it's not that it's bad, it's just the most out of place, I think.
The old border. Yeah, I agree.
It was the one where I was like, man, I should want four of these, but I'm not sure. Like,
yeah,
I'd rather get the lava spikes or something. I don't know.
I love all the green cards. Like, I think Eternal Witness is probably the hokiest looking one. But
oh, really? No, to me that looks right out of right at home to me. That looks solid.
Yeah, that's me. I mean, I was probably just hoping. Like, I firmly disagree with a lot of the positions that Therese Nielsen takes, but I do appreciate the quality of some of the art that she's produced, and it always sucks that to see something like the Therese Nielsen Eternal Witness art produced by somebody who has such a like questionable moral stance. It's like, oh, it's too bad. That's a bad person. Like, I don't even play with, I have a playmat with some Noah Bradley art, signed by him that I just don't even play anymore because he's not a good person.
I have a signed Therese Nielsen mat I can't play with anymore, which is sad. It's a Guru Swamp. I'm just like, oh, okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yep. Dude, Ancient Stirrings and Sylvan Scrying though getting printed, like that's an instant buy for me. Like I got it. My Tron deck's gonna look so funky, and I love it.
Oh, dude,
like, I've got the full art Tron lands.
So my question is: are you playing with Antiquities Tron lands? Are you playing with full art Tron lands?
Right now, that's sleeved is the Antiquities Tron lands. But now that the old border green cards exist, I might just stick with that. I own the full art, Tron lands with the Wizard of Oz kind of looking. Yeah. An environment. I do not own Funky Karn though, and I kind of want to own Funky Karn.
Oh yeah, sure.
You wouldn't it just piss people off if I had Funky Karn but Antiquities lands? And
that'd be great.
And yeah, like, and then like you get the, like, I don't have any of the special Ugins either. I think my Tron is just so medium, but I think it's going to be the deck that I like actually bling out over time. It's just got so many fun variants. Okay, here are the real the misses, the gold cards.
Really? I am so excited about some of these gold cards. Like,
no, they look terrible. What are you talking about? Gold, the gold border was never very good, in my opinion.
Oh no, it was, but that's just, there's the nostalgia here is so strong. Like, I'm looking at like Abrupt Decay and Bloodbraid Elf and Cloud Treader Swiver, and
I don't want any of these.
Dovin's Veto, Knight of the Reliquary, Lavinia, Mortify, Prized Amalgam. Like, I'm just like, man.
Gotta get that slime foot.
Whatever. Who cares about slime foot? I mean, I'm just like, a lot of people love their slime foot commander decks. That's just not something I'm into. The artifacts are just like chef's kiss quality. Like,
yeah, they're very good. Some of the choices here I'm disappointed in. I was really hoping for an Opal. I know no one plays it. I know we can't go off episode of Forcing Spike without Chris Dunn talking about Opal. But like, I was really hoping for one. Even though it's not played anymore. Like, I just,
yeah,
I was really
chalice. Plating.
It's taunting to do cranial plating and not do. It's like, oh man.
The manifold key is one I'm really excited about. I want to get a foil old border manifold key, or a couple for some of my decks. The old border Panharmonicon, the Solemn Simulacrum. Oh my gosh! Like,
that's a throwback. I remember that being a chase rare, like when we were kids. God.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
I'm just and the lands. Oh my god, the lands.
The lands look great. Something this old border does very well is show details in the artwork that I never noticed before. Like, did you ever notice that Bajuka Bog had a corpse floating in it?
Yes.
I never noticed that before.
Oh.
I was like, great. Oh, there's a guy right there.
Just like, man, yeah. The one from each cycle that they printed, they picked excellent cards. I wish, I don't know, like Ancient Den is kind of a miss, but it's cool to see. Like, I think that's amazing.
I would have swapped Ancient Den with God, I really wish it'd been the blue or the red one. Sanctuary and Ruins are really good choices for the blue and red cards too.
Yeah, they are. Bajuka Bog is also a great choice for the black ones. Maybe like Blighted Woodlands. Like, I don't know. That's
the green artifact land though. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
it's I don't think so. I think this is fine. I love the Field of Ruin and I love the Wastes. Oh my gosh. Like, those old border foil Wastes are just going to be
looking at that Wastes brings me back to Comics Plus, rest in peace, and flipping through a box and like seeing like basic Pokemon energy cards like from the first set like mixed in with old Magic lands, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like totally. Going it's through just, and like yeah. picking out the singles that you need.
Yeah,
the Wastes really hit a spot for me. I was just like, wow.
That hits home, and it hits it hard.
Years old again, and I'm flipping through a dusty cardboard box, and yeah, that's great stuff. I wish we had seen some basic lands with modern art done in this old border.
It would have been really cool to see.
I wish all the basics in the set had been done with the old border. That would have been.
Yeah, I don't think there are basics in the set. Like, they're not going to put. They're not going to put basics in, right?
Yeah, but like if they had, they have to all be time shifted, right?
It would have been nice. I would have loved to see like not unstable, unhinged art on old Borderlands. I think that would have been really, really good looking.
You kind of get it with the Wastes, right? That was a full art card that got put into an old border.
Yeah, so but that's what I'm saying. I would have liked to see one of the really good, or even
well, you can't. Like, they're all Noah Bradley.
I don't think Noah Bradley did Unhinged. I think he just did Zendikar.
Got it. Anyway, really excited about this. The set overall, I'm kind of on. I didn't really enjoy Time Spiral. But like, I would. I'm torn. I would buy a box if I could go like. Do some sealed with Rahelio and like we can build some sweet decks. And
I need you guys to buy some.
Are we doing a boxing league with Time Spiral?
Ooh.
Then I would buy a box, but I also
we'll have to gauge interest. I bought a box and I'm eagerly awaiting its arrival.
189? That's it? Oh god, it tanked. It was like pre-selling for $300. That's not bad. That's not pull the trigger right now. Good though. I'm gonna think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
yeah. When does it come out?
It's coming out here soon. I think it's the end of March.
Okay.
March 19th, mid-March.
It's my next pay period. Yeah, I'll probably buy one. It's weird. I'll probably buy one. That's a good price for it. I'll probably call my LGS and see if I can get one. If not from them, then I'll just order it. But
yeah, I don't know quite how they're doing the foils. I have
one on average, there will be one time shifted foil per box.
Man, some of those are going to be like the Ponder. I think that's got to be pre-selling for $250. Like,
look it up.
Let me check. Hold on. Like, somebody's going to be dropping some serious dough on some Ponders. So Ponder is pre-selling. The regular one is pre-selling for
50. I'm going to guess $50.
Let's find
plus or minus 10.
So we want our NM. So 45. Yeah. And there is no pre-sale price for the foil yet. But I'm gonna say those are gonna go for at least probably $200. At least $100.
Yep. Well, with that, let's close it out. Do you have anything else you'd like to add, or do you want to do the outro?
We can call it here. This has been pretty good, and we've been at it for a little bit. So thanks for listening, guys. I'm Justin Sherman. This is Chris Dunn. We're Forcing Spike, and we're signing off.
Have you finished WandaVision?
I have not. I know you made a Facebook post. I'm only on like episode 3. I have like no time to watch TV. Like usually when I get alone time, like I just want to like work on magic decks or like read something, or like I do a lot of work not at work, which is bad. But I'm behind on a lot of TV.
Oh no, that's fine. I don't get any alone time. Like, and if I do, it's usually sitting here with you guys playing Commander or doing something like looking up something and maybe getting a couple games of Arena in. Eleanor is really good about sitting in my lap though and like watching me play Arena. She really likes watching the cards move on the screen.
Sure.
So I can get some alone time that way. But if it's the evening and I'm not doing one of those three things, I'm probably hanging out with Annie watching something on TV. So yeah, we're caught up on it. We've actually watched a lot. We've watched more TV this last 8 months than I think we have in the last 5 years.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something to do. Like we're really we go to bed real early too. Like I think it's weird because I'm 6 months behind your Parenthood adventure.
Yeah, so
I'm remembering like what was Justin doing during like that age, and then like, oh yeah, he was going to bed early a lot. Like I'm at the going to bed early a lot stage. Like I went to bed at 9:30 last night on a Friday, and I'm just like, okay, that's fine. I'm cool with this. I'm looking forward to the being able to stay up late again though. Hopefully that comes back, we'll see.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, your adventure is a little different than mine too, because I feel like Eleanor just sleeps better than Emily ever did.
Yeah, so my fucking cat though doesn't. Like I told you about this, right? Like this is just,
your cats have like their witching hour.
I've been up at 3 a.m. every day this week because of my stupid cats, and I'm just like, oh my god, like come on.
You gotta like put them in the garage or something, man. Like
I mean, we have to clean the garage to do that. Like, you know, we just moved, so the garage has still got a lot of like that kind of thing going on.
Gotcha. It's got the I just moved look.
Not as bad as it was. But I mean, it's really not bad at all. Like the thing is that, like I said, I made a gym for Annie in there too. Like you've seen the picture. I actually cleaned up quite a bit of the garage. And
I'm jealous. I'm going to clean up my brother-in-law's big mechanic box that he has in my garage. And I'm going to post it on the Facebook Marketplace. He's been saying for like over a year that, you know, he's going to sell it, but he hasn't even cleaned it up to take pictures of it. So that's actually what I'm doing when we finish up here, is I'm going into the garage to clean that up and post some pictures of it, because it's a huge box, and it is where my garage gym would go.
Right.
And yeah. I've got the itch. Like I really want my garage gym. So
yeah, it's not that bad to put together, especially if you have some of the equipment already, which I know you do. Like, you've got some of the equipment, but
yeah, I've got a couple things.
Going to Home Depot and getting like the floor mats and stuff is like $100 or something.
Oh
like,
yeah, that's the getting the floor is nothing.
I did buy a pressure washer when I was doing mine, though. I did pressure wash the entire garage, and I was like, I think that's the thing I have on hand is a pressure washer.
Yeah, so we have a pressure washer. Something I want to do actually is I want to paint the garage floor. Like get a nice.
I thought about it. I really considered it.
Get a nice epoxy paint down and just have a really good looking garage. That's something I want to do.
Oh, that'd be lovely. I have other projects I'm prioritizing though before I do something like that. The thing that's messing up my garage right now though is transitioning a lot of the newborn things away. So I've got a pile of newborn large items that will be donated soon.
Sure.
And all the freaking Christmas decorations. Like I took down, the garage was spotless, and then I took down all the Christmas decorations, and I have all these totes. And I'm just like, what am I going to do with all this stuff?
Yeah, you'll have to do some shelves or something. We've done a pretty good job of keeping. We've got
some ceiling like shelving, or there is an attic space that I have peeked in, and there's room up there, but there's no like plywood like on the ground. So if I go to get some plywood and it turns into a whole project, right? My dad and I were looking at it. My dad's like, oh, that hole's kind of small for what you want to do, but there are conversion kits. So like you could go to Home Depot, get the conversion kit for your attic door. Yeah. Cut out that hole, get some stairs, and then get a bunch of plywood. And like you're talking one weekend and $200, you're gonna have like a shit ton of storage space.
Yeah, so that's something I would love to do to our attic, because we have the tiny little hole. I would love to get the drop down attic door with the ladder, like the spring loaded ladder, and then you know cut the hole, frame it out, install it, and then from there. Be able to put like some plywood floor up there and kind of like keep some stuff up there. It'd be great.
Totally.
It would also,
there are two accesses for my attic. One of them is in the garage and one of them is in my office that I'm in right now. It's in the closet. The thing is though, I actually took the closet door off because I needed to install a bookshelf. This room's very small. Like this little room became the office because it's the smallest bedroom in the house.
Sure.
I took the closet door off and then I realized just recently, this sounds like a no shit Sherlock situation, but I have a kid that's going to be walking around soon, and having an open closet like that is not organized is not a good plan. Like there's a dresser in there right now with all my magic stuff, but I need to get that out and I need to install some shelving and then put like a gate like on it or something.
Yeah.
But that'll block out. If I install the shelving, it's going to block the attic access. And I need to make sure that my garage access can get into the main roof, like the main area of the house. And there is a hole. I just don't know how big the hole is to get from the garage to the main area.
So you can always, like, if you don't want to do anything with that access point, right? You can always put another one someplace else.
Oh, that's true.
Right. So it's the conversion kits. Like you can just cut a new hole.
That's true. I don't know where. Probably Eleanor's room.
Yeah. So, dude, you know,
my attic, though, I was up there a few weeks ago. The insulation's insane. They went nuts, like with the blow-in insulation. I was like,
this shit's everywhere. My god. That's how my attic is too. Like that, it's all blown in insulation. And I was like, man, I would love to just clean it up. I'd love to like vacuum it all out. You know, get some. Put some really high quality. Oh yeah, there's definitely like there's going to be like mouse nests and like nasty stuff up there.
Just screws sticking out of the wall, like that you don't see, like stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah, have to be dangerous, or have to be careful because it is dangerous. But being able to suck all the insulation out, I'd like to drop a couple of wires in just because I have some dual action. I have some ceiling fans that are also lights that are on one switch. I'd like to divide it into two switches, have a switch for the light and a switch for the fan. That's really nice.
You know what you can do in the short term?
You can Google Home get little controllers.
Yeah, the light technology is a lot cheaper. If you're just looking for lights that you can control separately, like with an app or with like a Google Home device, they're like $15 for the bulbs now. Like they don't do anything much, like anything really fancy. Like I get the fancy bulbs that can do the 1,000 colors and synchronize with like your TV and apps and crap.
Oh, like, I know you really got into the lighting a while back.
Oh, dude, honestly, like it's about $400 or $500 to do a room, but it is the best way to do a cheap, like the level of comfort that comes from like dynamic lighting is totally worth that investment. You know, like if you think about doing a home improvement project, like just, oh, I cannot talk about the return on it. I got my father-in-law a starter kit for Christmas and he was kind of iffy on it. And then he installed his lights and he was like, oh, I'm going to spend a lot. He went out and bought 4 more bulbs. It was
I'm going to spend a lot of money on this. Yeah.
It's really nice. But anyway, my point is they have a version of the bulbs now that don't do quite as many things, but like they're $15 a bulb and they work with the app and the voice command. And like, if you're just looking to turn them on, off, and maybe change a couple colors, like from like warm light to bright white to whatever, like it's worth looking into instead of waiting for your project to be done.
Sure.
I'm dead serious. Like, you know, like if you don't like them, just return them. Like Home Depot doesn't care.
That's true.
Yeah.
Another thing is you can see my ceiling fan here. I want to get a ceiling fan that has a nice, like a diffuser on it, you know, like a nice cover, just so I don't have nearly as much glare from
my fan up here. My fan sucks. I don't put those lights on. Those are actually smart bulbs in that fan, but they're still too bright. There's no diffuser on it.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
The direct lighting is for especially for playing Magic on the spell table is just bad.
Everything comes back to that. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I got to get going. I'm actually going to eat and shower, and I'm going to go get my actual coronavirus vaccine today. So
okay. All right. Oh, that's right. Okay. Enjoy it, man.
Thanks.
You'll probably be really tired today. The second one is the killer one.
Cool. All right. my plan is to do nothing today. So
yeah, there you go.
All right. Maybe mow the lawn. Like if I can mow the lawn, I'll be happy.
You should be able to do that easy.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.